time for our kids, our youngest ones, to head on back and meet Miss Margie at the back door there and have a great time. We just pray God's blessings on you as you go. Man, I love that song. Thank you, team, for leading it. Church, today we're launching into a new sermon series, and the series is called Gospel Confidence. Gospel Confidence. And the series is based out of three chapters in Acts, Acts 13, 14, and 15, which describe the first missionary journey that was taken by Barnabas and Saul, who then became known as Paul. And the reason that we're calling this series Gospel Confidence is because in these two men, we see incredible confidence as they go out and follow Christ's call to go and to make disciples of all nations. They have confidence that, honestly, I think is lacking in a lot of us. And it's not confidence, I don't think, in themselves, in their own ability or in their own wisdom or in their own knowledge or in their own leadership. I think it's not a confidence that really is arrogance. It's not that. It's a confidence, I think, that's available to every one of us. Because it's a confidence in the power of the gospel. It's a confidence in the ability and the wisdom and the leadership of the Holy Spirit who resides in every follower of Christ by God's grace. And I don't know about you, but as I think about, Lord, why is it that sometimes I hesitate to get involved, to step out, to go, to speak the words that God would have me speak, to share the good news of Jesus, to be a disciple maker, to help new people become disciples of Jesus, I think sometimes, a lot of times, it's because I don't have confidence. Confidence that I'll know what to say or that I'll know what to do. Confidence that I won't mess things up or make them worse. Have you ever felt like that? Well, if you have, and I bet all of us have a little bit, then all the more reason today that as we approach God's word together, that we approach it with great attention, with great earnest, that we seek the Lord in his word and listening to his spirit to learn what it means, not this week, but in the weeks to come, to have gospel confidence. Imagine if every single person here was full of the same kind of gospel confidence that Barnabas and Saul had. But before we do that, I wanted you to see how God worked among the 12 of us who participated in this year's Men's Mexico Build. It's the reason I'm wearing this extremely bright green shirt. I'd like to invite all the guys to come up right now and just line up right here. Try not to kick Joel's guitar over. And as they come, church, I just want to tell you that I'm really grateful for these men because these guys were the early adopters. When we had a dream of using a Mexico mission trip to build a house, actually to build up men in Christ, these guys were the ones who said, sign me up, I'm in. And I know that others were interested in coming and just couldn't come, but these guys raised the money, took the time off work, got down there, and I'm just really grateful for them. It was an incredible privilege and honor to serve alongside of them, and I wish you could hear from every single one of them. So these green shirts make us really easy to see. I hope that you would come and talk to us and ask us about our experience. But I did want you to hear at least from some of us. So I've asked John Ellenberger and Rico Guerrero and Ben Wheely to come and to share about their experience. So, John, would you come and give us a little scope of what happened?
So a men's conference and a short-term missions trip all rolled up into one packed five-day trip to Mexico. It was the best men's conference I have ever attended. What could be better? 12 men from First Press and 12 men from Chapel Hill constructing a building for a local church. Instead of shooting skeet at a men's conference, which I love to do, or instead of golfing, we constructed a building for a church in 3 days with no power tools, with a lot of physical labor and teamwork and problem solving. Many hands pitching in to build a building. And wow, what a feeling of accomplishment afterwards. And we had rustic camping and lots of camp food. And each night we had great teaching by Pastor Mark Toon and Pastor Jeremy and intern Pastor Ellis White. And Each day we had great small group sharing and personal time with our Lord. We left Fresno on a Thursday morning, driving several cars to San Diego. The next morning, before dawn, we got up and had a big breakfast and met with the Moore Ministries, and they led us across the border. We went directly to the work site and were working by 10:30 that morning. About two-thirds of the group jumped into pouring concrete floor for the building while the other third started framing the walls and the roof. They found a flat spot and framed a section of a roof, and then on top of that, built another section of the roof. On top of that, started the walls and just started building up while the concrete dried. The next morning, we got back to the work site and started putting up the walls and the roof, and by the end of the day, we had the building built with roof and first coat of stucco. On Sunday, we went back to the construction site and finished it off by about noon. There was another group. There were other building sites that were among the group, and they were in pretty difficult situations, sites, and they were building smaller homes for people, and so some of our group, because we finished early, went and helped those groups as well. Regarding the construction, Amor really has this dialed in. They've done this for many years, and they build 450 buildings a year, so you don't have to have a career in construction in order to contribute. Just look at us up here. We're a bunch of CPAs and teachers and managers and a pastor and an EMT, and we're not construction professionals, and we all contributed and had a great time. On Monday, then, we drove home. The best part of the trip for me, well, two things. One was seeing our senior pastor jump in and work as hard as anyone else with the sweat and the sore hands and contributing and with a great attitude and then coming along and teaching at night. The other was forming new friends. I knew several of these men kind of by face. Some of them I didn't know at all, and I can now call each one of them my friend, which I'm very grateful for. So Rico and Ben is now going to come and share their thoughts.
Hi, my name is Rico Guerrero. As a first-timer of any type of mission trip, I was not sure what to expect. My plan was to do whatever I was asking to do and not complain about any job that I was assigned. I decided to participate because I felt God was calling me to take time to build my own foundation of faith. Initially, I did this for me, but after the trip, I realized I also did it for my family, my church community, and the wonderful people of Mexico. The goal was to build a house in 3 days, but after day one, I knew that there was a deeper purpose for our work. It was about building a home within our lives for God. One of the best experiences was getting to share time with the other men on the mission. As we all worked side by side, supporting each other, we began to exchange personal stories about our walk with Christ. Through these interactions, friendships were formed. I also found this experience to be transformational for me by deepening my relationship with God, especially when returning to camp with sore, aching muscles. I prayed for quick healing and for the pain to go away, from the moving of rock by wheelbarrow, mixing of multiple tubs of concrete, and walking up and down the terrain. But God never failed me, and he helped me get through the soreness and gave me the strength to just keep working. I knew the pain that I felt was temporary, but the result of the structure will be provided permanent. It also provided a perspective of a people who have little, but yet are so joyful and have such a strong faith in God. I am truly blessed, and I am reminded that all that I have is due to God's work in my life. Upon my return, I have reflected and added God into my daily life. I allotted time in my life to read the Bible daily and to grow in my family, in my faith with my family. One morning I was lying in bed reading my Bible and my daughter noticed. She ran to her room to grab her Bible and laid next to me reading along. This was a new activity in our life. What I also took away from the experience is what it means to be a disciple of Christ. This is an area that I struggle with since I am new to the church and only over the last couple of years began to read the Bible. So I've always been afraid of having conversations with people because I don't know what to say. But I am working on it, and I found that I am proud and eager to share my faith with others. I truly enjoyed my experience, and I would encourage others to participate in this mission trip in the future. I know that I will gladly participate on future trips.
There are few things more bracing or rousing than a cold shower. While initially unpleasant, a tub of cold water does much in the way of stimulating you awake and refreshing your physical body. We experienced that sensation on multiple levels on this trip. There was, of course, the physical cold shower on Friday night after a long day of cement work that most of these guys did, and I was out with a cold, so I didn't get to do that. But that won't be the lasting lesson learned. I've been on exposure trips before. I've served food at rescue missions. I've purposefully impoverished myself living in downtown L.A. while serving those living on Skid Row and in housing projects in South Central. I know poverty exists. I give money to various social causes because I know it is the correct thing to do, and I enjoy being able to do so. My profession requires a skill set that I am continuing to master so that I can best give order to the chaos that people unexpectedly find themselves in. I give from a distance, and I am comfortable in doing that. It is refreshing, therefore, to deep dive into a project that requires more than the effect, but from a distance position I am comfortable taking. It is refreshing to see a project from start to finish. It is invigorating, however, to be physically invested in that process. Much like we were involved in transforming a rocky pile of desert soil into a food pantry for Pentecostal Church of Highest Calling in Colonia Margarita Moran outside Tijuana, Christ is looking to transform our lives into a respite for lost and wandering souls. Christ's work on earth, as Pastor Ellis from Chapel Hill reminded us, his work on earth was to make disciples. The act of Calvary was the ultimate salvific act in history, but his mission on earth was to make disciples. It is therefore our mission on earth to make disciples. That was the cold shower for me this weekend. My mission on earth is a shared mission with Christ to make disciples. It is to do the hard cement work in the rocky soil of the lives of those in my sphere of influence. The ways in which I give of my talent and treasure from a comfortable distance are good, and they're often beneficial. But the time I spend investing in the lives of those around me at work, at home, with my friends and my acquaintances, that is the ultimate cold shower. Uncomfortable, vulnerable, invigorating, refreshing.
So as you can see, this was not just a trip about house building. This is about men building, to be men who seek after God's heart for the world and participate in what he's doing. And I know that you're excited about what God has done in the lives of these men. I hope, guys out there, that you'll start thinking about the weekend after Mother's Day for next year. The plan right now would be that we would try to go back again with the team. But I think right now it's a good opportunity for us to just say thanks to God for the work that he has done in the lives of these men and through them for this church in Mexico. Thank you, guys. You guys can head on out. They look good in green, don't you think? I do encourage you to really talk to each one of these guys, because God worked in their lives, and I encourage you to seek that out. Well, we are in the book of Acts, and we are in Acts chapter 13, and it's our time now to turn our attention to his word together. Acts chapter 13, and I encourage you to find that in your pew Bible or in your own Bible or on your phone or whatever. Let's turn together to Acts chapter 13. And Acts chapter 13 starts in the city of Antioch. Antioch is a city that's up the Mediterranean coast from Israel, what is now South Central Turkey. And according to Acts chapter 11, just a few chapters before, it tells us the story a little bit about what happened in Antioch. Remember, earlier in the book of Acts, we find out that when Stephen was martyred, it started a huge persecution against the church. And when that persecution started against the church, remember, the church in Jerusalem spread out. The scripture says that everyone left except the apostles, and they went to cities all over the region. And one of those cities, Acts 11 tells us, was Antioch. And when they went there, they began sharing the good news of Jesus with the Jews that were there in Antioch, and many came to faith. And then Acts 11 tells us that other men came from Cyrene and from Cyprus to Antioch, and they started sharing the word with the non-Jews who lived there, and they started responding. And so you had this great movement of God in this city of Antioch, and Jerusalem heard about it, and so they sent Barnabas to go up there and work with them. And when Barnabas went there, he did what he always did as the great encourager. He went up and found Saul, who was in Tarsus and had been there for a couple of years, and grabbed Saul and brought him down to Antioch. So in Acts chapter 11 at verse 25, it says this about what was happening there. It says, Acts chapter 11, 26. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So lots of great things were happening in Antioch, and that's the setting of our passage today in Acts chapter 13. Look with me now at verses 1 through 3. Hear now God's holy word. It says, in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your holy word. And even in this brief passage, Lord, that kind of just sets up the scenes that come after it. Lord, I believe that there is something really important that you want us to hear today. So speak to us by your Holy Spirit here as we worship, and be glorified in us, that it wouldn't just be information and interesting things to know, but that we would be changed, that we would experience your transformation here for your work through us, God, to the city and beyond. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone who agreed said, amen. Amen. Well, this, of course, is just the very beginning of what is a pretty incredible missionary journey for Saul and for Barnabas. And before we get to all that action, I think, as I just prayed, that there's something really important in just these three verses that we need to think about and capture and absorb. But Luke starts it with this description of the Church of Acts having these five leaders, five primary leaders. There's Barnabas, there's Simeon, there's Lucius, there's Manaen, and there's Saul. And it'd be really fun if we had more time to kind of dive into what we know about each of these men and about who they are and maybe how they got there. But we don't have time. So all we can say is this was a very diverse team that God had pulled together, a team of five men who God had pulled together who were leaders in that congregation. And then even though verse 1 has this list of those leaders, in verse 2, when it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, I believe it actually is not just pointing to those five leaders, but it actually is pointing to the whole church. That's what most of the scholars agree, that they there is not about those five leaders. It's about the church in Antioch. So the church in Antioch, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, God worked. And you see, when the whole church really engages in worship and really engages in prayer and fasting together, they are primed for the work of God to move through them in powerful ways. And that's exactly what happened in Antioch. While they were worshiping and the Lord and fasting, we don't have a lot of the details. We don't know how it sounded or how it occurred or how it got interpreted or whatever happened. But it says clearly that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, spoke to them, telling them to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them, the Holy Spirit says. And we don't have the details of what that meant. The Holy Spirit doesn't say exactly what the work is for Barnabas and Saul. And we don't know if the church was expecting something, if they were asking the Lord for that. We just don't have any idea. But we can imagine, think about that. We can imagine that the potential calling out of these two key leaders in the church was daunting. And instead of reeling, though, away from this word of the Holy Spirit, look at verse 3 to see what they did in response. It says that they fasted and prayed some more. And it might sound like it all happened right in the context of a lunch meeting, right? I mean, in just a few minutes, the way it reads, it sounds like it just all happened. But I imagine this happened over a period of time. They heard this word from the Lord, and then they went to prayer and fasting to discern that word. And they discerned it together in the midst of that prayer and fasting. They discerned what the Holy Spirit was saying, obviously. And church, let me just say again, powerful things happen when the church truly engages together in worship and in prayer and in fasting. And so as they discern what it was that the Lord meant, it says, after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, on Saul and on Barnabas, and they sent them off. Just think about that, though. They sent them away. Isn't that kind of counterintuitive? I mean, these two guys are two of your key leaders, two of five great leaders in the church, and they're building the church in Antioch, and then they send them away. That's crazy, right? Well, it's crazy if your primary goal is to build the kingdom of your own church. You see, when you're working to build the kingdom of your own church, you don't let good leaders leave. When you're building the kingdom of your own church, you don't care what happens in other cities or in other countries or even in other parts of your own city. When you're building your own kingdom, you don't certainly engage in activities that don't seem to have some kind of direct benefit back to you for your church. But their primary goal wasn't building the kingdom of the Antioch church. The evidence suggests that their primary goal was building the kingdom of God. So even though it was certainly hard, I'm sure, and even though it may have caused some anxiety, absolutely, and even though it was full of uncertainty, the Antioch church laid hands on these two men, two of their most important leaders, and they sent them off, not knowing if they would come back, not knowing if they would survive, not knowing what would happen for sure as they left. And beloved, I believe that we need to be able to do the same thing. We can't only think about building our kingdom. We're called to seek first the kingdom of God and of His righteousness, His wholeness for our whole city, for the world. When we do that, these other things, the scripture says, that we might worry about will be taken care of according to God's will. You see, the Antioch church had confidence to send out two of their five leaders because their confidence was not in men. Their confidence was in the power of God and in the ongoing work of Christ through the Holy Spirit to build His church. And friends, that same power is available to us. Jesus continues to build His church. He is not finished yet. If He was, He would have already come back. But when we focus on our own kingdoms, it will always hold us back from participating in His kingdom. And not only will it keep us from sending out, but it will also keep us personally from going. Just because Saul and Barnabas were the ones that got sent away doesn't mean they were the only ones who were sent. Remember, Jesus, at the end of the Gospel of John, looked at His disciples and He said, "As the same way the Father has sent me, so now I what? Send you." Every one of those disciples, every follower of Christ in the church of Antioch was a sent one. So when Saul and Barnabas left to go on their journey, the rest of the disciples, the rest of the church was sent right back in to Antioch to continue the gospel work in their own city. But see, when we're primarily focused on our own kingdom or on our own needs, we're not likely to care much about the needs beyond us. We start thinking that we have too many of our own problems to care about anybody else's problems. We start believing that we have to have our own kingdom perfectly in order before we start joining God with His kingdom work. But church, that is a lie. That is simply not true. If you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have what you need to participate, to begin participating in His kingdom work. Take, for example, the Mexico guys that stood up here with me. They didn't have all their lives together before they went. Believe me, I lived with them for 5 days. They weren't perfectly healthy. They didn't have everything all together. But listen, going actually helped them in growing healthy. The truth is that we can't be truly healthy in our own little kingdom. You can't. Whether that be personally as individuals or corporately as a church. Unless we are going, unless we are intentionally moving outward, we will never be healthy. In fact, if we build our model of discipleship around any other thing than the mission of God to the world, around any other thing than going, we are deceiving ourselves. We are not making ourselves disciples of Jesus. And we are ignoring the Great Commission of Jesus. It takes going to be healthy. But to go, we have to have confidence. And so how do we have confidence to go? We have to put our faith in Jesus rather than in ourselves. And why would we put our faith in Jesus? Because He is the one and only, who was sent from the Father, full of grace and truth, to show us how to live God's way in God's world, to show us who God is. He was the one and only sent in the love of God to die as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. He is the one who was raised in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then who empowered His disciples to carry on His mission with the indwelling of the same Holy Spirit. We put our faith in Jesus because He is the one who sits at the Father's right hand in all authority, in all glory, and in all power. We put our faith in Him because He is trustworthy and He is faithful. And all authority and power has been given to Him, and He is the one who has sent us. And when we put our faith in Him rather than in ourselves, it changes the equation. Jesus gives us confidence in going. Going about our everyday lives on mission for Christ Jesus. So, beloved, may you, every one of you, put your faith in Him and go wherever He sends you with confidence that He is the one who sends you. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have sent us. And I pray that You will help us, God, not to put confidence in ourselves, because every one of us will find something missing, something lacking that will keep us. And if we try to live our lives in a way that says, well, I'm just going to make sure that I have my whole life all together, or our whole church all together, before we move out and focus outward, God, we will never move out. By Your Spirit, You are making us into the image of Your Son. But one of the main ways You do that is by sending us out, so that as we go, we grow. So God, would You fill in us the confidence by Your Son through the Holy Spirit in us to be willing to go. And Lord, maybe there's a person here who You're sending today. We obviously have already prayed for people going to Turkey and Romania and India. But maybe today you're sending someone to live in these new residences just blocks away from our church. Maybe you're sending someone to move to a different part of the city and intentionally live out the gospel in that neighborhood. Maybe you're sending someone to the door just down the hall in their office building to talk to the person there. Maybe you're sending them to the door right next door to their house to get to know their neighbor. Every single follower of Christ is a sent one of God. So God, fill us today with your Spirit that we would have the confidence to go. All of it for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessing from the Lord as you go and with confidence that He has sent you, each one of you, into this world. And while I'm doing that, I just was reminded today is Vernon and Danielle Burt's last Sunday in worship. They're getting ready to move over to the East Bay. If you're near them right there, would you just kind of come over and put your arms around them? And we'll just pray God's special blessing on them. Lord God, thank you. Now receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. God bless you.